All right. Welcome back to A Businessman's Guide to Everything. I'm your host, Colbert Zengi. In this show, we explore some of the big industries that we are surrounded by, some of the organizations that inhabit them, and the more interesting people that run them. So today, I have with me for the last time today, unfortunately, Marty Stauffer. Marty, introduce yourself. Where are you from and what do you do?
My name is Marty Stauffer. I own Stauffer Insurance. It's a small independent insurance agency in Linden, Washington.
All right. So, Marty, I want to talk about Plan B. Well, hopefully I don't have to use this Plan B, but should the day ever come where I need to leave my current job and I need to find something else, a lot of insurance agencies around here, people seem to like the job. So I want to learn how to get into it, why I would get into it, all those kinds of things.
Okay.
So let's first start, though, with you. How did you get into insurance, and why did you get into insurance?
Mine's a little different of a story. My grandpa used to be an insurance agent, and as soon as I got started in sales, I got into retail when I was like 19 years old, and grandpa started to say, oh, you should come talk to me. And 19-year-old, I have no desire to sell insurance. Insurance is so boring. And so absolutely not. Thank you, Grandpa. Talk to you at the next family gathering. And then I went from retail into advertising. And he said, oh, well, you got all this, all these business contacts. You know, you should really look at insurance. And by then I was in my early 20s and I was considering, but I also looked at, oh man, that's going to be the sort of job where you put in the work early. I got a young family now. Like there's no way I'm not going to do that. And so, then I found out we were expecting twins and I was like, okay, this job that I'm at is not for the long term, but insurance could be. And so I actually had to sit down and kind of reviewed with him. I actually met with other agents as well to consider whether the independent was the best way to go or another way. And, had to sit down with grandpa and, yeah, it made sense that to try it. And so I ended up starting as a producer at another company.
A producer?
Yeah. You just get out and sell the insurance policies. So.
Oh, so like the hard grunt work.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. Yeah. You get out and you hit the streets and you go see people and get their policies and bring them back and do the quoting. So, that's how I got started in it. And that's, I think, how most people that get started, they don't usually start from scratch and just go run an insurance company, that's for sure.
All right. So in insurance, as far as I'm aware, there's just the agent. What roles are there actually in insurance?
Yeah. CSR, customer service rep, is a big one that they're not necessarily licensed, so they can't give information when it comes to your coverages and all that, but they can help answer your billing questions and process changes and get you ID cards, you know, things like that. So customer service reps are plentiful. They have commercial lines experts. They have personal lines experts. Producers are the ones that get out and bring in the sales. And then agents usually, you know, it's a combination of, you might be a CSR and an agent. You might be a personal lines agent. You might be a producer and an agent. You might be the owner of the company and an agent. So
right.
An agent is going to be one that is managing policies as well. So not just throwing them in and getting them sold.
So when you say managing policies, what do you actually mean by that?
Well, we keep an eye on just making sure that if we see big increases, we can reach out to people and let them know. But really it's a matter of, somebody gets a new vehicle, when we take a look at that, somebody has a increase and we need to shop them around, we do that. Somebody has a potential claim, they do that. We're trying to monitor these people as you meet with somebody, they might have been one risk when you first signed them up, but a few years later, all of a sudden they're now married, expecting kids, they got a motor home that they didn't have before, and they're considering buying their second property. And now all of a sudden it's like, okay, are we still in the same market? Are we still there? And as an agent, that's where you ask for that sit down and let's have a review and let's make sure that we're still where we need to be.
Right. So insurance. Where we are specifically, we're in Whatcom County. So we're at like the very northwestmost point of Washington, right under British Columbia. Would you say that, whether in general or just in Whatcom County, in the field of insurance is oversaturated? Do they have a particular quality about them? Like, how would you describe insurance right now?
Yeah, we're in a interesting spot, I would say. I don't think we're over saturated at all. Mm-hmm. Some would say otherwise, but I don't think we're oversaturated. That Whatcom County's got nearing 250,000 people in it. And for the amount of insurance agents we have, there's enough for everybody to share.
Right.
We absolutely can help take care of a customer base and build an entire business on it. It's not a problem there. I would say a lot of the companies, their head people, their presidents, their owners, whatever, they're kind of in their 40s right now. You have that kind of middle ground. They're not the newest agents and they're not going to retire in the next couple of years, but we are seeing a lot of that right now. So I'm seeing a lot of really good companies in Whatcom County that are in their prime, so to say, and still growing and still impressive. So if
I was to transition into insurance right now, specifically in Whatcom County, it sounds like it's actually a really aggressive market at the moment.
I mean, it can be. The fact is you're competing against some really, really good people. And that's what it comes down to. I've had people that have come up to me and said, you know, oh, I'd love to be an insurance agent. And I have to just point out, I don't think you do a good job. And they're like, wait, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of people that don't like you. Like that makes a difference. Like you kind of have to get into it already being the sort of person that your circle of influence trusts you and believes in you and relies on you for things. And like, if you weren't willing to help them move 6 months ago, they're going to remember that when you're asking to quote their policy. Like it's the sort of person that you've been over the years plays a role when it comes to insurance. And like when I'm hiring people, I go out of my way to really look for a very unique skill set that is not, can they sell? Like I'm looking for, where is their heart? Like, do they have a servant's heart? Are they the type that wants to open the door for a stranger? Are they type that pulls a weed in a flower bed because it's a weed and they just think it'll look nicer without it and needs to be done? Do they put a grocery cart back for a stranger rather than screaming and shouting and calling them names? I mean, there's certain dynamics that comes to that. And then when it comes to certain roles, can they handle being bored at times? Because some parts of this job are super, super boring. Like it's a paperwork heavy job. But I got a call yesterday from an old boss and somebody I had not seen in 20 years. She had been driving through the community, saw my name and said, oh my gosh, he's still around. I need to give him a call. And she started asking about other former coworkers. You know, are you still in touch with these people? And it felt amazing to be able to say, yeah, you know what? I am still this guy's insurance agent, this person's insurance agent, this person's insurance agent. I have this massive circle of influence back from when I used to sell baseball hats at 19 years old that I am still connected to because of the industry I'm a part of. Like the ability that I have to go to my son's swim meets just because I want to, because I've built my business in such a way that allows me to do that. That's an industry thing as well. Like there's a lot of things about our industry that are just awesome for you to be able to have as an insurance agent. But there's also a lot of like the negative and the stuff you get to deal with as well.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about the myths and the unpleasant truths about that last episode, actually. So if there was an agent that's relatively new, a lot of other agents that they're competing with, a lot of really good ones in our area, what is something that they can do to make themselves stand out from the crowd?
I mean, I jokingly tell customers all the time, like when they come back and they give me a really nice compliment and just say, you know, hey, thank you so much. You're really good at customer service. I really appreciate that. Thanks for going above and beyond, you know? And anytime I hear that you're so good at your job or whatever they say, I like to turn it around on them and say, actually, I'm not. I'm slightly above average and everybody else is pretty terrible nowadays. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to is customer service as we know it is horrible. You want to have a fun conversation, get a group of people together and start talking about within the last week, the bad customer service experiences that you've had. And everybody's got a story and you'll laugh at all of them, but believe all of them because you know how bad it actually is out there. So what does it take? It takes returning a phone call. It takes returning an email. It takes keeping your word. It takes following up with a thank you and doing what you said you were going to do when it comes to getting a quote back on time. Those are all the things that the average agent may not be doing. And you could stand out by just keeping your word. And it's something that I do think I try to even simplify within my own agency is we don't need to be amazing to look amazing in this sense. We really just need to make sure that we're doing the job to the best of our ability, keeping our word, returning our emails, returning our phone calls.
It's funny, to put up all the bells and whistles, it really just comes back down to those most simple principles, really.
Yeah. I mean, I hear all the time from my older generation of customers about what it used to be for them. You know, that their insurance agents would come to their house and sit at their kitchen table. And they don't necessarily want that nowadays. But what they do want is an agent that will actually return their phone calls. And they don't want to have to use an app all the time. Some of them do, but the older generation typically doesn't. And they just want the agent that they can show up and have a conversation with that knows what they're doing, is competent, that will keep their word in whatever they say.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the reasons to get into insurance. Why should someone look at insurance and see this as a viable alternative if they need to make a midlife course correction?
Okay. Well, I had a meeting with a guy recently that might be coming to join me. I don't know. We'll see. But he's got a job that's tough on the bones. It's tough on the body. He's putting in a lot of physical labor in his work and he's making a lot of money. And so he's saying, I'm making a good income on a good job, but my body hates me for it every single day. Mm. Mine doesn't, not for that reason. I shouldn't be playing basketball with my high school kids. That's why my body hates me. But the overall job, no, it's pretty laid back on a physical level. And if you can get started at a certain point, yeah, you start at a very base level, but as time goes on, you can kind of do another layer and another layer. And it's one of those that because of retention, because of repeat customers, just renewals and such, you can really build as time goes and make yourself a good income. You just got to do your job well and not ever become complacent.
So it's steady. It's not hard on the body. What are then some reasons that someone shouldn't get into insurance?
I mean, you got to have patience. Like, I know that in my prior gig, they were losing patience with me after the first year. Like, I wasn't getting the sales that they anticipated during a terribly hard market, and they were ready to send me to the curb. And it's just not how it works. I don't think most of us jump out and start to be successful right away. I think you really got to put in the work, put in the effort, get good at your job, impress your customers, and then those customers refer more and more and more, and that's how time will build. It's not just simply a matter of, contrary to what a lot of the books say, you don't just go talk to 100 people to get 30 of them to give you the time of day, 10 to let you quote, 5 to be successful so that you can sell 3 that day.
Mm.
That's a long day and a lot of people annoyed with you, and you're going to run out of people to call real quick. So I like to do it with the intention of impressing everybody that I'm dealing with at that moment in hopes that when they're getting to talk, they're going to give good referrals. And we see that. We see it online, neighborhood pages that say, who do you recommend? And our names get dropped a lot more than you would think an agency our size gets put in there. Yeah, we get a lot of nice referrals.
That's good. Now, when it comes to the personality of an insurance agent, what are the qualities that you kind of need? And what are the qualities that, if you have them, you really shouldn't get into this field?
Yeah. I just mentioned that boss that I had. I've told people before some of the best advice I ever got from her over the years. She's absolutely was an amazing boss, and I loved her to death. And she used to say, whatever you do, hire people better than you. And I truly feel that my staff, that I've got people that can be better at my job than I am. And I'm proud of that. And I think that you need to have a certain like I've said in the prior ones, servant's heart. Mm-hmm. You need to have a willingness to help, a patience level. At times, the people in my office show patience that I just don't have. I tend to be a little more direct than I should be sometimes. And I have to then get the look from across the office of, come on, Marty, that's not how we do things. And but yeah, you got to be patient because some of them are, they hate insurance. And so you kind of got to, you got to play that role accordingly. You have to, it's tough. It's a long-term job and you got to remember your role. And that's where I think that this is something that your role is that you plan on being here to serve them for the next 20 years in this situation. You want to be their long-term agent. You want to be their help, but you also got to remember you're here to protect them. And sometimes that means protecting them from themselves. And so you have some interesting conversations sometimes.
So what about the obstacles then? Because obviously one of the things that's very apparent is that if you're going to get into insurance, you're going to spend at least 1 year really struggling to make it work. And that's fine, because if you get it to work, it's going to pay off in the end. Is the biggest obstacle in insurance just those first few years? Or is there something else that's not obvious?
Well, I mentioned before the customer of mine that's one of the best insurance agents that I've known, he didn't make it. He didn't make it in the industry. But it's not because he wasn't putting in the work. He literally moved here not knowing anybody. He worked his tail off. He worked way harder than me. He was a farmer's agent that knew his stuff. Farmers does a really good job of teaching their people their stuff, their product. He knew his stuff. He knew it well. And he was putting in the effort 7 days a week. He was out there working his tail off. He didn't make it. I did. He was better than me. And I'm thankful that I was able to make it, but I also started off with a massive amount of local connections, lots of friends and family that were willing to help me out. I got a lot of yeses when he was getting no's. And that wasn't because I was a better salesperson. I think it was because I had a history with people that they knew they could trust me. When I came from insurance, or when I came from advertising, I should say, I reached out to a restaurant that we had dealt with a problem with an ad that didn't go well. And I got assigned to his account because of it. They had let go of the prior person and said, you jump in, you fix this.
Oh, so the guy screwed it up and then they threw you into the mix.
Yes, they threw me into the mix. And so I was able to immediately walk up to this guy when I got into insurance and said, you've seen how I handle things when they go wrong. You've seen how I treat you as a customer. You know, I'll be there for you moving forward. I'd like to work with you. And he's like, yeah, here's all my stuff. And it was a significantly easier than expected sale. And I think that there's something to that, is there's a history that comes with a successful insurance agent, that it's not just showing up with the right attitude and work ethic. You kind of have to come with a pedigree, so to say, of like the work that you've already, the relationships you've already established. But heck, if you've got that already going, where you've already well connected within a community and you've got a lot of friends that you could reach out to, and you know, they see you as a trustworthy individual and you've always been good to them, you might be perfectly aligned for that sort of job.
It is interesting, because like I hear everyone says it, where the most important kind of marketing is honestly your network.
Yeah.
It's who you know, who knows you, and who trusts you.
Yeah.
And son of a gun, it's absolutely right. The biggest thing that I've done this year has just been developing those networks. And it takes months, sometimes years, to see those really pay off.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that if you don't have those, just how much work it takes to overcome the lack of those resources.
For sure. Yeah. And it's putting a value in everybody that you encounter, and not just the ones that you think can help you.
Yeah.
When it comes to the insurance side, I've seen it many times, not just a couple, but many times where somebody that it didn't make sense to switch to me, that they were significantly loyal to another place and had no desire to come to me. It didn't matter. We still got to know each other and communicated and became, you know, friends, if not just associates or whatever, but got to know each other. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, they're calling me up saying, hey, I'd love to get a quote. You know, I've always thought highly of you, and you know, could you put something together for me? And now I've been their agent for, you know, 10, 15 years, whatever it would be. And those relationships mattered. And yeah, I remember meeting, we did a little networking group once with just random people from random different walks of business. And I was sitting at the end of the table, like 20 different people at a little coffee group. So it's loud and lots of conversations going on. And she's with a human resources company. She looks at me and she goes, "What are we doing here? We're absolutely wasting our time." She goes, "All we're doing is getting a coffee and having conversations about our kids." And I said, "Yeah, that's what we're currently fighting against." I said, "You know, when you're out and you're dealing with the good old boys club, because they won't let you talk to them because they've already got connections that are so strong.
Yeah.
You're wondering, how do you crack it? You don't. You go make your own. Get your own good old boys club."
Yep.
"And get your own group of people that think very, very highly of you, that will always stand by your side and support you and push your business towards success. And that may be this group of people, it may not. But you might meet one person in here that someday is a banker that approves a loan. Right now they're selling stereos. You know, we don't know. They may be somebody that's your inner circle someday. So just get out, meet people, be nice, and put a value in everybody you encounter."
There you go. Tell us the story about how you started your own insurance agency.
How much editing?
Yeah, concise.
I'd been at an insurance agency for almost 12 years, the one that my grandpa was a part of and president of. And things didn't go the way I wanted, and I ended up losing that job. I tell people when describing my situation that a trapdoor was pulled out from under me. I landed hard on the ground. There was dust everywhere. It was dark and it was terrible and I hated it. And then when the dust settled and somebody turned on the lights, I realized I was exactly where I needed to be. So I was ecstatic with how it's ended at this point. I ended up going and talking to a bunch of different agents locally about potentially working for them. And as I said, we have really good agents locally. So those connections worked really well for me. I was getting hit up within minutes of the time I kind of put it out there that I'm no longer working. I got hit up pretty quick to interview at some of these places, but just none of them felt like they were going to be the perfect fit. And so I started digging in a little bit and realized the idea of starting my own company was going to be a lot less difficult than I anticipated. The perfect spot to rent came about. I didn't expect that to happen. And things from the day I opened up the business, things just started. Day one, it was busy and it hasn't slowed down since. And so it's been way better than I expected. But yeah, it's, I was ready to go out and try it on my own and see. And
that's interesting. So you were at an insurance place for 12 years and you were let go because they decided that you weren't cutting it for them.
No, I had an attitude as well. I have a little bit of an ego sometimes. And so, yeah, I may have helped influence that situation.
And yet, in spite of all that, you then start your own independent agency and you started just before COVID.
Yeah.
And not only did you survive COVID, you've gone through what I hear is like the most tumultuous period in like recent insurance history.
Oh, it sucked. Yeah.
And yet we had a conversation 6 months ago where you were telling me that you were thinking the second half of 2024 is going to be really good.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks ago, I came over to your office again and we just started chatting about a few things. And you're like, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
You've managed to grow your business in spite of all these challenges. What do you think that you've done that has set you apart, that has allowed you to carve a piece of the market for yourself, that has made you successful in spite of all these challenges?
I'd say it goes back to what makes a good agent in that case is just simply returning your call and keeping your word in that. You just make sure that you're out there and that you are what you show yourself to be. You know, I think a lot of us, we want to have this image of what we are. We want people to think of us a certain way, but we're not willing to then put in the work to be that person. And I want to be somebody that is seen as I'm easy to get a hold of and that I'm quick to respond and that I'm there to look out for them and their families. And I feel that that is how it's gone. I would also say I've had success in my hiring. I've been very, very fortunate to get people that probably better than me. So
that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, last question then. So if someone wanted to get into insurance and realistically they had a few years to transition to it, it's their aspiration. How would you advise them to get into the insurance industry? Presumably probably not just start their own agency up off the get-go. They're probably going to have a role in.
I mean, in reality, numbers wise, say starting your own agency, if you can pull it off, wouldn't be a terrible plan, because
really
working for somebody else, you end up putting in all of the time and the effort only to see that they're the ones that own that book of business. So you decide, okay, now's the time, I'm going to go start it. Okay. But all those customers are their customers now.
Right.
And you may have a limit of time until you can talk to them or whatever the rules were. I had to go 2 years between the time I lost my job until the time I was able to reach out to any of my customers in that. And mind you, good percentages of them have followed me and I appreciate that. But starting to work for somebody else, you put yourself in that position. I would definitely say that if you were to do it, you want to make sure that you have some savings ready to go, because you don't make your money right away. And that you work hard, you grind hard, but you also have patience and knowing that what you're planning today, you don't get to eat today. Mm-hmm. You know, you're planning for the future. You're working hard for the future. Take care of that field and watch it grow. So
there you go. Well, how can people find you, Marty?
We do insurance in the state of Washington. So if if you are in the state of Washington, we are at Stauffer Insurance. You can find us online. It's Stauffer. Our phone number is 360-746-8803. And taglines, we're happy to help. So you can give us a call and we'll do what we can to help out.
All right. Well, Marty, thank you for joining me for the many shoots that we've done. We've done 4 so far. We've covered a lot of ground. It has been a pleasure. Thank you for joining me in the first few episodes of The Businessman's Guide to Everything. I hope you guys have enjoyed these episodes. Look forward to more, because they are coming. Until next time, take care.